Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Welcome into the Eric St. Joe Podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports, that's the place to go where you can get stuff and then crash it on Silver Lake sand dunes. Honestly, people need to be more careful over there. That is, you got to have your head on a swivel. If I owned a side-by-side or a four-wheeler or a three-wheeler or a two-wheeler or a one-wheeler, whatever the fuck, I'm probably going to keep it like under 15 miles an hour. Kind of like a leisurely pace. People just want to go too goddamn fast. But to each their own. I'm a old fuddy-duddy, as it's known. Thank you very much for being here, Impact Power Sports. They are at impactpowersportsmi.com. Buy fun stuff like four-wheelers, ATVs, UTVs, motorcycles, e-bikes, Yamaha golf carts, Michigan's newest Yamaha golf cart dealer. All there, 14 Mile Road in Rockford, Michigan. All right. Kenny asked, did you have some cheese and ice cream last night? We are now 36 hours removed from the great chocolate ice cream incident that took place, in which of the 9 servings that are in the 1.5 quarts of ice cream container, I consumed 8 of them in one sitting for a grand total of 1,360 calories. It had never been done before in my life. I felt quite accomplished and terrible at the same time. I'm still not over it. I still feel like a big steaming pile of dog shit. Yesterday, I was very limited on what I ate. I did have a serving of Slaughter the Turks Armenian spaghetti and meatballs at lunchtime after a fast. I went just 16 and a half hours, no big deal. Then I ate that. Then I went ahead and kind of really didn't eat anything. That filled me up quite perfectly. I wandered over to Bosco's Pub to get yelled at all night by Fuckface. And I didn't eat anything. I didn't take any food home. I had one onion ring, so I guess I ate something. One onion ring and about 6 small pickle slices. Just, you know, garnish. Pickles go a long way with me. I think that's a very underrated diet food. There's like no calories to it. Tastes good if you like dill pickles. And it satiates you. That is the word, satiate. I feel satiated. Boy, Doug was on the warpath yesterday at Bosco's. Oh, my God. I come walking into there, and he goes, "You're killing me." Now, I told him, first he asked for me to be there at 4. I said, "I can't. I got to be there 4:15 to 4:30. He said, "Okay." I strolled in at 4:35. So he looks at me, he goes, "Oh, you're killing me." Now, he is the king of, you know how like Diane always says to me, "Size of the problem, Eric." Which means don't overreact. Size of the problem, Eric. And she makes me hold up my thumb and forefinger to be like half an inch. She goes, "Your reaction, Eric." And then I put my arms out wide. She goes, "Yes, Eric, your reaction needs to match the size of the problem." So he was upset about something, though. So he goes, "I got this." There was a couple of tickets that were in. He was making food. And whenever he's making food, he always looks like he's exhausted. Like, oh my God, I'm working so hard. And he goes, "I got this. I need burger lettuce. I need garnish lettuce. I need diced tomatoes and sliced tomatoes." So prep work. I guess he didn't get to the prep work. So he's stressing about everything. There might be something else cooking. I don't know. Who knows? You know, not everybody is, well, no one, frankly, is as sound mentally as Eric. In my opinion, if you act out, like mouth off to people, get crabby, stomp around like a goddamn psycho, you are weak mentally. You don't have the ability to process something appropriately. You're weak. He's weak as fuck. So right away he's barking at me. And for whatever reason, he's kind of like watching over me like a hawk. Everything I did, I could tell he was going to, like, micromanage. I'm like, oh, boy. So, whatever, I'm doing something wrong. He comes and corrects me. Okay, great. Then, after, like, enough little things that he makes a big deal out of, he goes, "Boy, you're having a bad day." Now, I've been there for, like, 3 minutes. "You're having a bad day." I don't say anything. Because I know that I'm, first of all, I'm going to talk about it here. Second of all, it's just like, I just fucking don't care enough. And then, shortly thereafter, I text Diana. I said, "Remember that conversation we had about you working here? Forget it. You don't want to work here. You don't, I was lulled into complacency that this is a normal arrangement. It's not, you're not allowed to work here," because she was talking about, "Hey, I think I want to work there." Oh, okay, great. Well, yeah, no. I texted her immediately. I said, "No, forget it. Just don't do it." So he continues to berate me and abuse me and be unbelievably mean. He goes, "Unpack the French fries. You think you can do that?" So he's literally busting my balls and being the abusive boss. And I'm just like, "Oh, okay, boss. Well, okay, boss. Well, I'll do it, boss." Diana says, "Leave." I go, "What?" She goes, "Walk out of there. Get the hell out of there right now." I'm like, "Nah, I'm fine." She goes, "I'm a little annoyed later on. I'm a little annoyed that you take that abuse." And I go, "Well, First of all, it doesn't bother me because, you know, I am a goddamn thoroughbred when it comes to thick skin. I'm a rhino. I'm a thoroughbred horse and a rhino. So I'm just like, what? What's going on? Huh? I just play dumb. Whenever he busts my balls about something, I'm like, oh, what? Huh? Oh, damn, boy, I'm such an idiot. And then, you know, that's basically it. It just flows off of me. I am ideal for that place. And it's also good knowing that if I decided to leave, he'd be fucked. And I don't want to fuck Doug. I like Doug when he's normal. I don't like him when he's cranky at me. But right now I'm fine with that. I'm fine with being, right now I'm telling you on this podcast that I am fine with being verbally abused. I am all for the verbal abuse of me. Patrick says, I'm not a big fan of Doug. He's kind of a whiny bitch. Aram says, I hope Doug talks shit to Kenny the Punisher. Aram also adds, sounds like he's going to be working there by himself. Well, not as of right now. I'm totally cool. I don't plan on quitting or walking out. Now, if he, I forgot this part. He was cutting up tomatoes because I wasn't doing a good enough job. So he took the job over. And so he's doing it while he's muttering to himself. And I thought he was done. So I cleaned up his mess for him and got rid of all the debris. And I moved the garbage can back where it's supposed to be. And now, I didn't know this, but I guess he wasn't done and he had something else to do. So he picks up the fucking garbage can and he brings it back there and he like slams it on the ground like, you know, he's the Undertaker putting the Rock in a tombstone. Bam! And I'm like, oh, God, I guess he wasn't done. So I'm like, oh, shit. Kuiper says, just a normal day in a kitchen. Yeah, I think so. Aram says his son is leaving too. No, he already left. I haven't even mentioned that yet. He's out. And that might be, I don't know, maybe that's why he's feeling the pressure. But he moved on to look for other work. He got out of the gig. Kenny says kitchens are intense, probably pretty normal. Look, at the end of the day, this is how I feel about working there. I have it all down. There's nothing that can rattle me. No matter how busy we get, I can do it. And he does recognize that because we got slammed with two big tables that came in. And both tickets, 14 food orders came in just like that. And no problem. I crushed it. I fucking dominated. Now, I didn't get one fucking thing wrong. Now, if I had, I am comfortable with the fact that he's going to call me a dumb fuck and scream at me. Because I just go, huh? What? Oh, fuck. Shit. Sorry. And then that's it. I don't know why, but I almost like start to laugh. It doesn't affect me in any way. It doesn't stress me out. It doesn't bum me out because I don't have as much skin in the game. You know, I am there to provide my time, and in exchange for my time, I get $18 an hour. So I just kind of like, it doesn't hit me as hard as it might other people. Aram says Eric should buy that place and get it fully staffed by being normal. I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could swing that. I think it'd be a different game. I think my mindset might be a little different. if I was there every day grinding. I cannot say that I would be able to pull off what others would be able to pull off, nor would I want to. I'm happy just the way it is. Jimmy says, except you screwed up the sliced tomatoes. Corey says, Zane should have to work a month at all of his sponsors. There was one time I did that with Joe Martinez. I started to make videos of me doing the jobs, and I had to clean an air conditioner. We were on top of some restaurant. I don't remember where the fuck it was, doing just that. He's here right now. He might even know what that was. You still work with those people? Aram says, I want to hear an airing of the grievances with Doug on the podcast. Yeah, that may happen. You know, actually get him on here and say, so you're calm now, but 12 hours ago, this happened. Yeah, Joe and I were at JT's Pizza in Cascade. Do you still work for them? Or do you still do work for them? Or did they kick your ass out? Eric Zane delivering dumpsters if Kyle would start sponsoring again. Joe Martinez writes, no, once they found out you were working there, they dropped me. That's a horrible thing to say. You are a horrible individual. Speaking of Kyle, from a company that used to sponsor the show, let's see here. It's time to reach out to him. He doesn't know that I want him to do the advice segment. Watch your eardrums. He's saying, okay. Dear Kyleski is what Kenny came up with. This is all on Kenny. He said, this is what I want you to do, and I'm engaging him with that. Now, if he doesn't pick up, I got a backup. I got to call Stu McAllister. I told him I would. I want to.
Hey, folks. Kyle Diller, and I just can't come to the phone, but I just want you to leave a message so I can just call you right on back. All right. Have a glorious day.
Over the weekend, our very own Stu McAllister was in a competition. A food eating competition, but wasn't just any food eating competition. Oh my God, get serious. Come on, Stu. Well, this is a bad start. Well, now two people owe me phone calls.
I've reached the phone of Stu McHale.
The thing about Stu is, leading up to the start of this podcast, I reached out to him and I said, hey, buddy, I want to get you on to talk about the big contest you were in. Okay, great. And then he calls me while I was on the phone with like a bank. And I tried to put Stu onto the voicemail. And instead of putting Stu onto the voicemail, I hung up on the bank and picked up Stu. And so now the sentence that I was saying to the guy at the credit union, I'm now saying it to Stu McAllister. So Stu hears me talking shop, talking business with banker guy, and he goes, easy? I'm like, Stu, God damn it. I'll call you back. Holy shit. All right. Kenny says, quote, why do all these people have day jobs? Answer me. Joe Martinez says, I'm one of those bosses that kicks your ass down till you get it right. You would fit in great with Doug. Okay. You should go over to Bosco's Pub, Joe Martinez, and observe what happens in the kitchen. Because, I mean, I'm curious what type of a boss you are. I doubt you're as much of a ball breaker as Doug is. Doug is the most ball breaker of all time. And Diana is starting. She is really getting pissed off at Doug because I tell her about all my kitchen nightmares with him. And I swear to God, she's a quit. You gotta quit. Fuck that shit. Fuck that shit. Joe Martinez says, I used to work in the kitchen at one time. Well, then you know what it's like. A kitchen has to be a pressure cooker. And there is one other person that works in the kitchen. And I don't know how much longer it's going to be because I met her like 2 weeks ago and I walked into there and I started to, you know, merge into the tickets that were working at the time. And she about cracked because she goes, it's claustrophobic in here. I got to get out of here. And she like bolted. She goes, I need to take a minute. It's like, what the fuck? It wasn't even that busy. I'm like, oh shit. Well, this is going to be bad. Come on, knock it off. I'm trying to prepare her for Doug. And I go, look, his bark is a lot worse than his bite. Kenny said, is that as fuck? Yes. It's not ass fuck. It's as fuck. Diana would call Doug a cockhead after a few minutes. Corey said, easy. There was some echo in the mic since you switched to the phones. Yeah, of course. I think I just fixed it. Sorry about that. Yesterday, business as usual in America. As a 14-year-old boy marched into his school at Appalachian High School in Winder, Georgia, and open fire. I take it back. 14-year-old boy. I think as of last count, he had killed 4 people and 9 others injured. This story is all too familiar to the world. Another U.S. school shooting. And I think as it all lays out, it's interesting to me how this one barely made the news. I mean, it made the news, but outside of that community, there just doesn't seem to be the type of resonance because this has happened so goddamn much. Now, 1 year earlier, the kid was visited by the FBI. The kid and his dad. So this is one that they like knew it was coming. Because 1 year ago, several tips came in about online threats of actually going through with the school shooting and posting images of guns. So it was this fucking kid. When he was 13, he was taking pictures of guns or getting pictures of guns somehow and then writing, hey, I'm going to shoot up the school. So the FBI, they were tipped off. They visited. The kid denied it. And that's where that ends. Pause in the action as we bring in Stu McAllister.
Damn.
Ranch Hotline.
Darren, how are you?
Stu McAllister, it's good to hear your voice. How are things?
Things are good, man.
Sorry about that.
Is it all busy?
I'm sorry, what was that? Sounds like your phone's all weird, Stu. Are you there, big guy? Ah! Of course. I'm in the middle of talking about a serious story. Fucking Stu calls, and it doesn't even work. Let's see if we can get him here. Okay.
Hey. Hey, I'm in. Maybe that's why I dropped or whatever.
Is that like a... I'm sorry, where did you say you were?
I'm in Podunk, Michigan.
Oh, okay. One of those small towns, huh?
Yeah, I'm in Dublin, Michigan.
I don't even know where that is.
Yeah, it's a shithole.
Have you ever driven to any of these small communities to deliver your confectionery goodness, Dippin' Dots, and thought, wow, I didn't know about this place. It's nice.
Yeah, occasionally that happens that way. But normally it's like, why the fuck are we here?
I was on the way up north recently, and you asked me if I could check in on one of the places you distribute to in Roscommon, Michigan.
Yeah. Were you able to do it or no?
No, it was way out of the way.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
And they, I guess, owe you money, and then when you try to reach out to them, they're never around, and they don't pick up the phone.
Yeah, they don't answer the phone, and it's a little breakfast place, and I'll get this out of the morning, which you would think would be prime time for a breakfast.
Yeah, you got to call. Yeah, keep trying. Say, yeah, I'm ready to put in my order. And then they say, all right, what's your order? You say, pay me my fucking money, bitch.
Pretty much, man. That's how it is with some of these people. There are a lot of hillbillies out there.
I know it. Speaking of hillbillies, you did a hillbilly thing just the other day. Man,
I did. I didn't realize the thing was kind of going to blow up like it did. But, I drank way too much ranch dressing.
It was a 24-ounce ranch drink. Ranch, and whoever drank the ranch the fastest?
Yep. Okay. They won free wings until May of next year.
Now, is this a new thing? Is this the first time they did it?
Yeah, it was the first time they did it, and they were just looking to get people up there in Belmont, Michigan. The harmful rooster, I think that's how they say it.
Okay, yeah.
And it was a new event, and it was on Channel 13 News. And so a buddy of mine sent me the link because he knew I'm dumb and crazy. And I was like, yeah, I'm all about it. So I went in thinking I had a chance at winning.
What's interesting, and you finished in second, is that right?
I did. I came in second, but it was a distant second.
Now you
that
just,
guy was a machine.
Okay, so he like sucked 24 ounces of ranch down in a short, like how much time?
13 seconds.
Wow.
And I did it in like 25, I think.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I felt good about it, but I was also demoralized because I happened to be sitting next to the guy who won, and I got the side eye going on, and he's slamming down the glass. I'm like, oh, God bless America.
Yeah.
And second place got a prize, so I'm like, I got to get second. I'm not drinking 24 ounces of ranch for nothing. So I got second. I was happy with that.
Hey, it's Eric Zane here to tell you about my new favorite marketing partner, Mint Mobile. For the longest time, we've been paying way too much for our cell phone service, our plans, whatever it is, mobile device, whatever you want to call it. Every so often, they like put the screws to you just a little bit at a time. You don't even notice. Next thing you know, you check out the bill. You're like, wait a minute. This is not what I decided to pay for. What has happened? Okay, forget all of that. You can skip it all right now. Everything is about to change for you. Mint Mobile is the key. With Mint Mobile, you'll never, never have to worry about gotchas ever again. That's what I'm talking about, where they slowly raise your prices that you pay. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. Say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All the plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You're like, EZ, tell me more. This is all you do. I did this. All my family has done this. And you should too. To get the new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Zane. That's good anywhere. mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill from whatever ridiculous amount that you're paying each month to $15 a month. mintmobile.com/Zane. Pay attention to this legalese. $45 upfront payment. That is equivalent to the $15 a month for 3 months. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower, 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Don't even worry about that. I use that and it's no big deal. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How did you feel after consuming 24 ounces of ranch in 30 seconds?
I was gross. I felt gross. It was not good.
Can you imagine the odor if you puked that back up?
They had puke buckets there on the table. They were prepared. It was like, these people knew. They knew what was going to happen. So,
but if you had to puke, it would be better if you, like, remember that scene in Stand By Me when they showed lard ass in the pie eating contest puking on everybody?
Yeah, that would have been the best.
But no one barfed?
As far as I know, no one did. But I also will say, I don't think a lot of people really drank a ton. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think a lot of people weren't taking it super seriously. Like, the guy who ran it is like, all right, we got a 5-minute time limit if nobody finishes in 5 minutes. And I'm like, 5 minutes?
Right.
Like, everybody should be done in, like, at least a minute or two.
Right, right.
So there were a bunch of little kids at it who, like, I don't think they had any, but whatever. It was fun. It was fun. Would I do it again? No.
No, no. Now, was this the first time they'd ever done it?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It was the first time they did it. I think it was quite successful.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's getting coverage, I mean, Free Beer and Hot Wings played the news story, and I don't think you were in the news story. Or were you?
It sucked. Well, I think Fox 17, whoever the reporter lady was, I think she got there early and she interviewed some of the guys who got there early. I think I was like one of the last guys.
Okay.
And she split. Like, she wasn't even there. I never saw that lady until I saw the news story that people passed around to
me. Well,
so.
Yeah, in the news story, they at least need to have the footage of the winner doing it, you know?
Yeah,
if it only takes 15 seconds, fuck it, you know?
Right. So the cameraman got stuck. So the cameraman was still there, and he was recording.
Okay.
But yeah, that chick split. She's like, this is gross. I'm out of here.
So did that. Did you have any people that recognized you from the podcast or any of your stand-up efforts?
It's funny, the guy who owned the place knew who I was.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he's like, you're Stevie Calster, right? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you're the comedian, right? I'm like, yeah, now I'm here to do something dumber. So it was nice to get recognized. So, that was it. This guy Jason, who listens to your podcast and mine, he was there too. So that was nice.
Would that be Jason Bennett?
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, I actually saw him last night as well at Bosco's Pub.
Okay.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's a good dude, man. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's slightly retarded, but I like him.
If he's retarded, I'm super retarded.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Big time. Yeah. Big time. Yeah. I've got you opening up for Nick Swardston, Dane Cook, and Tom Segura, right?
Yes, I am opening for all three of those guys. I'm very close friends with all three. I'm privileged and honored to have been asked to open for all three of them.
When do the Bills play this weekend?
Sunday at 1:00. We got a new Bills bar in Wayland now. We're moving on up.
All right. Who are the Bills playing?
Cardinals. They shouldn't whomp them. They should whomp the Cardinals pretty good.
Is the game in Buffalo? It's got to be in Buffalo, right?
Yeah, it's in Buffalo. They're going to destroy the Cardinals.
They're going to beat the shit out of them.
Totally. So I'm looking forward to the Lions-Rams game Sunday night. That's going to be a great game.
That should be, considering that the Lions ended their season last year. Lions have those big expectations.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it'll be good.
But if they fuck it up, that's gonna be a disaster.
Yeah, that won't be fun. Can you explain something to me though? Can you explain to me why people are booing Kelly Stafford?
Well, she speaks her mind quite a bit,
right?
And Detroit fans are dumb fucks. So if they've got a woman speaking her mind, they're going to call her stupid and a whore. That's what's going on there.
Gotcha. Because I heard that she wasn't going to come back because she didn't want to get booed or whatever. I'm like, why would they boo her? Like,
well,
I get
she is kind of
plays
a,
with Rams.
I will say she is kind of a pain in the ass.
Sure.
And so she doesn't like being called a pain in the ass. So whatever.
No one does. But whatever. They're
gonna get blown out. I wish people would call me a pain in the ass. I've been fighting with people on Facebook again, Stu.
Again?
Yeah.
Facebook fight?
Yeah, yeah, big time Facebook fight. Anytime I make a crack about Freebird and Hot Wings, a bunch of their fans rush to their defense and tell me that I'm a goddamn loser.
So at least you have a better haircut.
Yeah, I got better hair. You know, fuck those guys.
Why do their fans care what you say? I don't understand that.
Well, you know how it is. You get, I mean, sure. I have people who defend me too, just not as many. As soon as people pick on them, they want to like rush in and be the white knight.
Sure.
So
it's all dumb.
Yeah. You know, and when they do that to me, when they fight back, I'm like, thank you. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to get to, it's about time somebody woke up around here.
Right. Right.
God
get
damn.
Some free pub.
Okay. Well, congrats on the success at the ranch drinking contest.
It's going on the resume.
Yeah. Can you imagine if there was a hot chick that was there next to you? And she started like, you know how like in the porno movies, they like rub it all over their face?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe like hot chick next to you and you're like, oh, shit, this is not good.
I get a boner. Oh, yes. My God.
Or maybe, you know what you should do? You should have some kids do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah? Are you sure about that?
No, that's a bad idea.
Fair enough.
All right, Stu, good luck. Well, watch out for the Hill Jacks today, okay?
There's so many. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Talk to you. See you.
See you, man. Goodbye.
Stu McAllister, ladies and gentlemen, the LMNO podcast. I'm trying to get Linda, our very own radio voice, Linda, to fall back in love with Stu McAllister. She is so mad at Stu because he yelled at the dog. There's audio that exists of him yelling at his dog, and that did not go well. I mean, if you yell at a dog, it's kind of, you know, they get all scared. They don't know they're dogs. You can't yell at your dog. By the way, O'Neill took a big gnarly shit in the sunroom today. How do I know? Well, the NFK encountered it, and he does the same thing every time. I'm there in the kitchen making Diana's lunch, Pooh Bear's lunch for school. And then he tromping through the house, and then he stops, and he stares at the shit. And he goes, whoop! And then I take a look. I look at him, and he's frozen in his tracks. And I wait for it. There's poo-poo. There's poo-poo here. Poo-poo. I go, uh-oh. Uh-oh, poo-poo. That's right, poo-poo. I go, okay. Somebody had an accident. I'll clean it up. What that is that's... That is a disturbance in the force for him, in the routine. Anything that gets him off his game, you want to eliminate that as quickly as possible. So I very quickly get rid of the waste, clean the floor, and then he can continue on. But, I mean, it's tricky business with him. You want to make sure that everything is on the up and up. Aram says he doesn't do that with his own messes, though. No, yeah, he just makes his own mess. So if he's wiping his ass and he gets feces on his hand, rather than going to the toilet paper and wiping it off with his hand and putting it in the toilet, just wipe it on the wall. Just wipe it on the wall. That's all you got to do. Don't wash your hands. Your hands are clean because you just wiped what was on your hands on the wall. Eric will take care of it. Cleaning up the dog poo is an easier, less repulsive clean than cleaning up the human feces on the wall, frankly. Bob says he could use all those folded paper towels he collected to clean them up. Jeremy adds, yeah, we're sure this is dog poo and not NFK poo. Well, no, he does manage to shit in the toilet. It would be a lot of work for him to shit on the grounds. I don't think he has that capability. Before Stu reached out, I was getting into this, the latest school shooting. Back when the kid made the threats back then, the sheriff's office identified the suspect, a 13-year-old male, and interviewed him and his father. Dad stated he had hunting weapons in the house, but the kid did not have unsupervised access to them. And the kid said, "I never made those threats." The FBI said that the sheriff's office alerted local schools for continued monitoring of the kid, and that, however, there was no probable cause for arrest or to take any additional law enforcement action. The agency confirmed that the then 13-year-old is the same teenager who shot up the school Wednesday. So let's put it this way. If I am a school superintendent and I get word that there's a kid in the school making threats, I'm going to take extensive action. You know, I don't know exactly what that could involve, but you got to keep a really good eye on that kid. A really good eye and be ready for anything, you know? I mean, other than just business, it's got to be something other than business as usual, where the kid gets to walk in with everybody else, can walk the halls like anybody else. Something has to be done. The weapon was a assault rifle. AR-style platform weapon. God knows where he got it. Authorities said it's too early to determine the timeline of the shooting or other details about what happened. This might be an old story, so that might even be available now. The lunatic is going to be charged with murder and tried as an adult. Within minutes, the sheriff's office received calls of an active shooter at the school at 10:20 a.m. yesterday. Officers arrived within minutes, in addition to two school resource officers assigned to the high school. The school resource officers immediately encountered the subject within minutes of the initial call. Once they encountered the subject immediately surrendered to these officers, and he was taken into custody. Barrow County Sheriff Judge Smith told reporters that his heart hurts for the children in the community following Wednesday's deadly shooting. A lot of language, a lot of words said. I don't want to get into it because whatever. At least it wasn't a Uvalde, where, like, the guy in charge of that operation to nullify or neutralize the shooter was like, "Well, we'll get around to it when he's done killing everyone," which is basically what happened. This one is horrible, but safe to say it could have been a lot worse had the kid not given up, you know? The line you've seen a thousand times. You think it's not going to happen to us, and then it does. You know what, though? I can't say that. I could never say myself, "You never think it's going to happen to us." I think it's going to happen to us. Okay? Every day, I'm like, please don't let there be a school shooter. Honestly, whenever you see somebody who looks like a school shooter, in my opinion, you got to keep an eye on them. You got to pay extra special attention to, like, how they're being treated. Because more often than not, it's some kid who's brutalized or humiliated or bullied, something like that. Those are the prime suspects. Always a white kid. That's what Corey says. It's always a white kid. In school shootings, yeah, more often than not, I would say, I'm just throwing estimates out. I would say nearly all of them have been a white kid And typically they're bullied. And God knows if that was the case here. When's the last time you heard about a school shooter who was like a popular kid who got tons of pussy? You know, the quarterback of the football team who had sex with a different kid, a different girl each day of the week. Never happened. It's always some kid who is bullied. They beat the shit out of him. He gets zero pussy. My God. Since this one is not dead, maybe they'll get some answers. Like Ethan Crumley, that piece of shit over here in Michigan, who he spent the rest of his life in prison, and his parents are also in big trouble. You know, because they bought that fucking psycho a gun. They bought him the gun, and then he like drew illustrations of how he was gonna kill all the kids in the school. And then they said, maybe there's a problem. Nah, go on back to class. Jimmy throws out the football heroes stick with date rape. Yeah, that's right. Rufalon. That's what they do. You're absolutely right. That's the type. In Michigan now, that law was passed that if you have guns and there's a kid in your house, they have to be locked up. Which makes for a pain in the ass problem for me. Because, like, if my grandkids come over, I'm like, go hang out in the backyard. Don't hang out in the house yet. Why? I have to gather up the dozens of fucking firearms throughout this house and lock them up. Which, it takes a while. And then I'm like, okay, the bed is, it's all just guns all over the bed. Guns and magazines. I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, shit, there's one missing. Oh, I know where it is. Go in, get the fucking gun. Put them all in the fucking safe. Spin the thing. They're all locked up. Come on in. It's safe. That's the law. Because if a kid goes to your house now and you have a gun that's not locked up, and then they go shoot your wife, because that's what kids do. They're stupid. You give a dumb fuck 10-year-old a pistol, he's just going to go, hey, what's going on? Blammo! Like Goodfellas. You got to lock your shit up. That's the law in Michigan now. Like the Crumblies. They're going to prison for a long time. There was just a fucking... actually, the law wasn't in place till after the Crumblies. You know? And now there's been a couple. There's one around here that grandpa had the shotgun like behind the door. And the grandson came over and like blasted another kid. And the kid's dead. And grandpa's going to prison for a long time. Corey says, maybe just have one gun hidden and the rest always locked up. Well, no, that's not why I got them. I got them so that I can always be near a gun. I've got one right here right now, and I don't dare pull it out. That's the point. That's why I have them. Why would I buy them all to have them everywhere and then put them all in the safe? That doesn't make any sense. You want to have a gun everywhere. Especially me. I have psychopaths who harass me on a weekly basis. So if I'm close to a gun, that is the quickest way to nullify the crazy. That's what everybody should do, frankly. If you listen to this podcast, do yourself a favor and have a gun with you at all times. That's what I do. I get people telling me I'm crazy all the time. I said, the fuck I am. I'm prepared. I'm a goddamn sheepdog. I'm a protector. I'll shoot the fuck out of anybody, and I'm a goddamn good shot, too. I do training where I move and shoot, roll and shoot, run and shoot. That's, what do you think I do up north outside of picking up sticks? I just fucking firing off guns. Bang, 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 bang. Fucking Yosemite Sam. Bang, 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 bang. Kenny refers to Doug as a psychopath. Doug's not a psychopath. What are you talking about? All right. So now this community picks up the pieces. President Biden was briefed on the shooting, and he said it is another horrific reminder of how gun violence continues to tear our communities apart. So I guess the theory is if there were no guns, then this would not have happened. That's an interesting theory. One that is above my pay grade. One that America is not ready to process. There is no way that any American, that Americans or America would be able to process the idea of banning of weaponry. I think that is the quickest way to start an absolute all-out civil war. If you know a guy who says, come and take it, and then you did, well, that's how, you know, it'd be like Ruby Ridge everywhere. I'm going to tell you this right now. If the government says, easy, guns are banned, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them my guns because I'm not a fucking moron. I would absolutely, I am not come and take it guy. No, I'm not. If they say we've got an idea for gun control and we want to try it out for 10 years, will you participate and give us your guns? Otherwise, it's a felony. I would say, yeah, I'll do that. I'm not an idiot. I'm willing to try. At least you're attempting something. America, though, is not prepared for that type of logic and brains that I have. Okay? There's no one who has a gun who has the type of mentality that I have of obeying the law. I can't have a machine gun. I can't get one. It's illegal. I don't want any other type of weaponry than what I have. I am not a NRA member, fucking cold, pry it from my cold, dead fingers. Fuck you. Fuck you. If they say to me, easy, we want to try gun control, I'd say, okay, let's try it. I'm willing to try. All right. Maybe it will work. If it doesn't, well, then we got to go back. Corey says, are you packing heat while you're making fries and cutting tomatoes? Well, you see, in Michigan, you can't have a piece of weaponry in an establishment like Bosco's. In Michigan, the law is if the revenue earned by the establishment exceeds a certain percentage from alcohol. If they make a certain percentage of money in alcohol sales more than food sales, then a piece of weaponry is not allowed into those establishments. Not everybody knows that. Okay. And so even though I'm a worker, that's a felony. You can't do that. So I keep it in my car and lock it up. Corey says, has the NFK ever stumbled upon a hidden gun? Or are they places he'll never find them, like behind the toilet paper and near the dishwasher? Well done, my friend. Bob goes with, poof, I'm all for gun control. Got to be able to hit your target. Poof, poof. Jeremy says, I don't care if it's an outright ban, a ban on a type of weapons, making it harder to acquire weapons. I don't care what we try. I just wanted them to try something. I agree. Bob insists that if guns are abolished, that we would have knife and machete attacks instead, like Great Britain. Perhaps, but a lot less people would still die. There still wouldn't be as many deaths. I do believe this room just got filled with dog fart. As I sit here, I'm being blasted with an acrid scent that is a real hot zester. I just turned on the air conditioning to pump some fresh air in here. God damn it. As I'm looking at them, I'm trying to rule it out. O'Neill took a big one this morning. I think he's probably free and clear. The other two are more suspect. Jimmy writes, plenty of knives in the kitchen, though. Yeah, you know, you're actually making me concerned. The UK has stabbings all the time, says Corey. Right. We know this. But less people usually die in mass stabbings. That was what I was saying. You know, honestly, if there's a guy stabbing somebody, you know, he's only got time to hit the one guy. Somebody's going to jump on his back and fuck him up. It's easier to take out a stabbing motherfucker than it is gunfire. Let's be honest here. So the argument, yeah, but then we'd have stabbings. Good. I will take stabbings over shooting any day. Idiot. So don't say dumb things, you dumbass NRA fuck. All right, that is Act One of the podcast. Act Two is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.